I should have probably, when we made that change in our agreement, is I should have probably drafted it in writing and drawn it all up and said, here is our agreement. Starting effective immediately, you're going to work 40 hours a week. You'll be required to be in the office 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, unless we have appointments, you know. So now I have to really pray about and think about how do I want, you know, we've got a team member gone now. How do I want to replace that team member? Do I want to just have a virtual team member, or do I want to have them in person? Do I want to be a 1099 employee? Do I want to be a W-2 employee? You know, there are a lot of physical things now that we've implemented Supernova with the folders and all that kind of stuff that, and also we put our appointments closer together. Before, when I didn't have any staff in the office, I would have like an hour and a half for each appointment so that someone got there early or my time ran over a little bit. I had a gap. Now we've got them, you know.
Can she do, it seems to me that the person that's closest to you could do the Supernova scheduling and the Supernova folders. And the rest could be done virtually. So you wouldn't have the issue. And if you could hire somebody not to be an employee, but to be a independent contractor.
It's way better. Yeah.
Way better.
I agree. I completely agree. So how do you recommend that I do that?
Well, Shelly would be the Supernova person then. So she's here, you know, she's here and she's got a vested interest in the client relationships and all that.
She does. There's two challenges for that. So the folder she can do no problem. She does not like the phone, hates the phone, loves email. If she has an option between call someone, email them, you're getting an email.
Well, that's even okay.
Even though I've trained her, we're in the people business. We're in the
relationship
business.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay.
So Zan was in charge of all my scheduling, but you're saying let someone remotely do that.
Yeah.
And then the other challenge is, I don't know if you recall, we have a 13-year-old son, or he's 12, he'll be 13. We have a 12-year-old son that he works from home on Mondays and Thursdays. So she cannot be in the office on those days.
Then you gotta order that out. Then she can't be in charge.
I mean, in my perfect world, in Preston's perfect world, my wife would not work in the practice at all. Not because she's not good and talented, but because it presents a whole host of challenges. Mostly in our marriage.
Try to get rid of her. Try and have her.
I've tried to get her to train herself out of a job. She got kind of close with Zan. Now Zan's gone, which puts her right back in that position for the interim.
All right. So one of the things that came to mind is when you're describing you, and I think you should try and hire a military person.
A military person?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Is there a thick skin?
No. They take orders.
Yeah.
They arrive on time. They understand attention to detail. They understand punctuality, they get it.
Okay.
And there's a lot of them coming out of the service all the time.
That's a good point. And they tend to be less emotional?
Less emotional, more mission driven. They understand the game. It's war.
I think that's a really good suggestion. I actually like the idea a lot.
Well,
male or female?
I'm thinking male.
Okay.
I'm thinking sergeant.
That might be a really good solution.
Yeah, let's just think about it, right? You get a guy that's coming out of the service. He's put in his 20 years. He's, you know, raised his family pretty much. That could be a female. I don't really care one way or the other. But a female sergeant out of the Army is going to be a tough chick. And raised her family or whatever the hell she did. We don't, but she's of an age that you're not going to have to babysit her and worry about whether she's out on Saturday night and can't wake up Monday morning, you know?
Right.
So I just think you're helping a veteran. You're doing a good thing. And you give them a mission and you hold them accountable and they'd love all your attention to detail. They'd love the process, the exact process.
I think it's really assistant. How should we find this person?
There's a lot of organizations that place veterans. You could hire a diverse veteran, which would be doing a double duty, good thing. Female African American that was smart and wanted to work hard. You could change the world a little bit.
Yes.
That's what I do, you know, with my mission, right? Changing the world.
Right.
And, so I just think you go and work on, you know, find veterans that need a job.
I think it's a really good idea. You know, my,
in San Antonio, right in that area, and
a lot of vets, yeah.
A lot of vets.
So you look for someone, sergeant? Is that an officer?
Or no, that's enlisted man, enlisted woman, sergeant.
Sergeant, okay.
Corporal, you know, corporal that worked in administration, you know, there.
So companies with veteran programs, military benefits. When I Google that, it mostly comes up like companies that are hiring veterans, not companies that are, but organizations that place veterans.
Right.
But it's coming up with, all right. And how would you go about the 1099? Just say,
person like that, you may want to hire them. Okay. They're used to having, you know, the whole schmack. They want to have, mother, you know, they want a new mother.
Right.
Uncle Sam, you become Uncle Sam.
Texas Farm Organization come back. Okay. I like that idea. That's a really good idea. I think one of the things too that I could use your help with on that is helping identify the right personality characteristic that'll work well with me and my personality characteristic. I mean, I agree that fine is on military, but there's all different, you know, they're still diverse within the military.
It's a person that loved the service and, you know, maybe they put in 30 years and they really aged out, but they want a job. They can't really afford to retire.
And that's the other thing that I recognize. And I, you know, Shelley, again, sometimes it's hard for me to understand if she's, because she kept saying, I'm feeling overwhelmed and I'm trying not to get too upset about feeling overwhelmed. She's like, all this comes back on me now. And I said, no, we just hired two new team members. We'll ratchet them up and you're going to have to do some more work and I'm going to have to do some more work in the interim. But hey, look, you know, it's all going to work out for the better. And right. The other lesson I learned was, even though Zan was really good, she liked people liked her. Really, when she was in there, she's really good. She's 62 and she's working because she has to, not because she wants to. And she said when we sat down last Wednesday, look, I don't want to be tied to a desk from 8 to 5 every day. Well, that's a problem, you know? Right. And so that's the underlying issue, which is I'm working because I have to, not because I want to. And I'm really tired of coming into an office because she used to work in the same office building for 10 or 15 years and she had to be there at 8 and she had to not leave till 5.
Yeah.
She didn't have to do that with me. She could work 3 days a week. But anyway.
So I'd say you need somebody that's 40 years old, not 62.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you went in at 18, let's say 20 years old, and you put in 20 years, you're 40 now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you still got plenty of juice to work.
Right.
And, you want something that can lead to something.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zan was the right hire for the right time, right? As our business was going. And it's just that where our business was going, she didn't want to go. And that's okay.
So one of the things that you can, and this is hard, but you can think about this, is legacy, right?
Right.
And if you hire the right person and they're smart, they could become a partner or they could take over someday.
Actually, I ran into my buddy who is still at Merrill Lynch, who started at Jones too. That's where we come. And he was real help to me when I, under my departure, a real friend. And if they hadn't picked up my U4, which we got resolved, but had they not done that, he was willing to hire me. But that actually worked out good that didn't happen because I wouldn't be here now. But anyway, that actually happened. The lady who was his main person, he said she was really good. She worked for him for 18 years, maybe 20. He said, we just got her licensed and she's coming to work as a partner. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. And that's one of the challenges I have is, you know, being even though we're independent, there's other independents I know, but like they're with other firms. So it's be kind of tough on the clients to go from truly RIA to Raymond James or, you know, fill in the blank. So I think that's another good suggestion too. I think that
sometimes they'll have, I got hired out of the Navy through Lenman and Associates, which was they had a conference, you know, a one day meet and greet with all kinds of employers. And it was for officers, Navy officers and other officers in Washington DC coming out of the service to give them a sense of what, you know, what's available out there. I didn't end up being it was Reynolds Securities that was there, but they got me to pique an interest in our industry. And I ended up in the industry because of that. So, you know, there's organizations that do that, for people coming out. Because it's good business, right? It's good for both. The other is referrals. Referrals are always the best way to hire people.
For sure.
So if you can get referred to somebody that you know and like and trust through the church or through other organizations, then, you know, that would be the second. That would be,
did you say Bradley Morris a second ago? Is that who you said?
No, I said Lenman and Associates.
Oh, I thought, yeah, I heard that. I wrote that down, but there's another firm that came up, Bradley Morris. It says Bradley Morris, one of the leading military and veteran staffing agencies specializes in placing qualified talent reviewing group. So yeah, I thought for some reason I thought I heard you say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I never, you know, I don't think they ever charged a fee. I think they just charge the employers a little bit for coming to the, you know, putting up a booth or something.
Okay. What would you call this role? It's kind of a combination. So if I was saying tomorrow I have B&I, so if I make the announcement that we're looking to hire someone, would you say an executive assistant? Would you say an office administrator? How would you best describe the role that we're looking to fill?
I might even call it like a relationship executive.
Yeah, we had been going directors, but with director this, director that, relationship executive.
Yeah, or director of brand management. If you want to, I mean, that's the title, right?
Yeah. Relationship manager, relationship executive, director of brand management.
Yeah. I mean, that's the director, right? That's the job. You don't want to make it too highfalutin or you end up paying too much.
Right. That's what I get. And what do you think I should pay this person?
So then you can just make an executive assistant, you know?
Okay. And how much do you think I should pay this person? A range.
I'd say 38,000 to 50,000.
Yeah. I agree. And I was paying Zan 46 plus all in. So I was, you know, I felt good about the compensation. I felt better about it than she did.
Okay. Right.
Well, and I think that'll be more attractive to a military person because they'll be more comparing that to military pay.
Right.
The one thing I had thought about before things went south with Zan this morning was trying to somehow tie a part of their compensation or bonus to the growth of the firm in terms of new ideal clients, not necessarily you're doing a great job, here's a check.
You had a problem. Do you know what the problem was?
Well, I had several. What was the main problem?
She was 62.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Do you understand? She's probably not going to take another job.
I don't know. She needs the money. She cashed out her 401k, her IRA with me and her bonus account.
I know, but people are delusional.
Yeah. She might take early Social Security. You're right. Maybe you're right about that.
People aren't smart. They're delusional.
Yeah, that's true.
So they, you know, you and I understand the, you know, deferred gratification, right?
Yes.
Her husband wants to travel. Her husband wants this and that. And so they get a camper and they go.
Yeah. She's actually single. But people are, yeah.
She's single?
Yeah, she's single. She's working because she has to, not because she wants to. So what I am asking a little bit on the front end, as that new person comes on and give up speed, at some point, do you think I should try and tie their compensation to, I need your help adding 10 new clients. For every new client we add, you get a bonus of X or, you know, hey, or something like that. So they can
give her $500 every time you get a new client.
Okay.
Meet your minimum.
All right. Okay.
Not if they don't though. If they don't meet your minimum, she doesn't.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Completely agree. Yeah. Gotcha. Completely agree with that. Okay. I'd ask you a couple questions ahead of time. You have that in front of you. You have your thoughts on how many enthusiastic endorsed people do you think is too many?
I missed that. You sent that. I got the emails on the.
Yeah, you even responded to it. You responded to it at February 12th at 7:22 a.m. And you said, good questions, bro.
Okay, good. What did I say?
I have it right here. So the first question was, how many enthusiastically endorsed people do you think are too many for the party? So we have about.
Oh, yeah, this was on the party. I'm sorry. I cut you off. I thought you were talking about something else.
I switched gears on you. It says, so we have 40 people on the list plus spouses. It may grow to 50 plus spouses. And of course, not everyone will show. We're planning the event for either Saturday, May the 14th or 21st, depending on the caterer.
You invite 50, you're going to get 30.
Right.
Okay. That's a good number.
So if I invite 50 plus spouses?
Well, then you're going to get
60. So yeah. Do you think 60 people is too many?
Is that the total number is 60?
Well, I'm asking your, so I was just going off the number plus spouses. Some of them don't have spouses, right? So that's what I'm saying.
So you get 2/3 of what you invite.
Right.
So you figure out what's my number? How much can I afford to do this? You know, what?
Yeah. That's what I'm asking you. So
I'd say if you had, if you have a party for 40 people show up, that's a great party.
Okay.
60 people's a lot.
So to get 20. Yeah, so I probably got to invite 80 people, 60 to 80 people.
Yeah. It'd be the greatest thing in the world if they all come.
Right, I know.
But that never happens.
I was already a little nervous about having it in May, if I could get everything together, because just onboard the marketing person. Now with this little debacle, and then we're going to have to move back to the 14th, because my sister-in-law is having a birthday party on the 21st. So I'm thinking about moving it to the fall. You have any thoughts about that?
You know, nobody knows the script.
Right.
Right. So nobody's expecting anything.
Okay. So there's a few people. So there's 20 people on the list I can call today. Like, hey, this is what we're doing, right? But for the people that I know, but they don't know me or we don't have a relationship, how does that go? And that's kind of where I'm a little nervous about getting in touch with them.
I would probably just do it with the people you know.
Okay.
And then between now and the next time, I'd get to know the other ones.
Okay.
You don't want anybody there that you don't know.
Okay. Except maybe a spouse.
A spouse, sure. Right.
Okay. All right. That answers that question. Yeah, I guess the main thing. Okay. And then I'd also ask you about planning to host 4 webinars via Zoom, most likely not live. And I had some potential dates and some topic changes. You have any thoughts or inputs about those?
Well, topics? You know, I think people want to get together now. The world's really changing.
Okay.
People are really having fun now.
Okay.
I mean, I had a good time this weekend. I, you know, it's like you're being released from prison.
Okay.
And I went, you know, I went. We have a beach club here and I went there and had dinner. And
so you think I should do those in person, the webinars in person?
I really think you should. Yeah. If you can.
Okay.
I mean, you can do both. You can do both, by the way.
Yeah.
You can do both. You can say, hey, I'm going to do it in person. I'd love to see you. You know, just, you know, the friendship thing, right? I'd like to see you. And they come and they listen. They admire what you're doing and listen to you and bring a friend. And that's where the money is.
Right.
But there's people that are out of town. There are people that can't come. And then you run one for them.
Okay.
And
I'm good.
You know, one's to get the information to them. And the other one is to socialize.
That's right. I'm implementing 2 things that I also think is going to be helpful. One is, you know, I told you we've done the private dinners at our home before where there's a total of 4 couples, including us, trying to scatter, like maybe one enthusiastically endorsed person, one client, maybe one potential client. So with the marketing person we brought on, we're actually one of the chefs is coming by this evening for us to interview her and kind of get to know her layouts. We're doing that. So we're going to do 6 of those events between now and the end of the year, right?
Beautiful.
Then, we are starting, several different, what's the word? It's totally evaded me. If I decided to do, I don't know why the word is evading me. Supper clubs. There we go. All right. So, and I'm getting good feedback. So, my idea is to have 4 different supper clubs. But we only meet 4 times a year, so that's quarterly, and we only invite 4 couples, so including ourselves. So that way, each person in the supper club only has to host 1 time a year, right? And we'll host first, and when it's their turn to host, they have 3 options. They can host it at their home with a private chef, right? They can host it at their home and cook the meal, or they can host it at a nice restaurant with a private room and pay for everybody's dinner when it's their turn. Whichever way they want to do it, it's fine by us, right? So I already have 2 people in one of the supper clubs that said, yes, we're in. And I already have the list of the other 3 people. So all together, if we implement it, we'd end up having, you know, 12 of those. We'll do those on a Saturday. We'd have 12 of those. And it'll be a mixture of people that, and of course, some of them are both people that we like and know and then we go to church with. Some of them are people that we like and know, and go to church with and happen to already be clients. And some are not yet clients, right? And then other people. So kind of a mix, some are enthusiastically endorsed. So kind of a mixture of people that we enjoy. This is fun socially, but also it'll be a good marketing thing as well.
Right. And you have people that, you know, would enjoy each other. So things, exactly. They have things in common. But this is also a nice way for you to get to know the enthusiastically endorsed people who are not, that you don't know. Right?
Yeah. So you like that idea?
I love that idea.
Thank you.
So what you're telling me is you're going to be out in traffic.
Oh yeah. I'll be playing Frogger.
But the game is, you know, people aren't out in traffic.
Yes.
They talk a good game, and then I ask them, what are they actually doing? And they're just not doing it.
Yes, that's right. All the results come from implementation.
You can have the best ideas in the world. Apple would never have been Apple without Steve Jobs, who was a great implementer.
Yes, it's a good implementer.
He wasn't the guy that created the product.
Right. And you don't have to be. You don't have to invent the wheel. You just need to know how to
I give you the tools, and you are the implementer.
The other question I had in there, I've shared some of the ways, but I wanted to get your input on, where would you recommend spending my time prospecting with the most leverage in 2022? To add a minimum of 10 households of 20,000 a year.
I think one of your, I would go after the clients, in technology companies. My preference for me personally is corporate business, because I like those people. They make a lot, you know, they're spoiled. They make a lot of money. They get big bonuses. Their stocks go up. They get options. They got a chance of hitting the lottery. And I get a chance to have, you know, one of them become CEO. And then I hit the lottery. So I tend to like those. I like independent business people also, but I was a corporate guy. So I really relate to them. You know, I understand what they're going through. You're an independent entrepreneur, so you understand what the independent entrepreneurs go, but you also were a corporate guy. So you can do both. Those two are, to me, the easiest ones. They get, you know, they get IRA rollovers whenever they change jobs. And you've got some wonderful companies there. You know, that big something, that company that your gal, we're telling her she, you know, she didn't want to take any more risk. And so she wanted to diversify. And even though she didn't have much money, she still wanted to sell her stock. And remember that?
Yeah. How would I get to meet more of her bosses and coworkers?
You ask her.
Okay.
And what you say is, I'm thinking of focusing my business on executives like yourself that work for very successful companies that are disrupting the world. Do you think that's a good idea? If she says no, then that's the end of the conversation. Be curious as to why, but she says, yeah, I think it is. If you were me, how would you go about doing it? Write chapter and verse from the supernova multiplier.
Yeah, I recognize it. I'm just, repetition helps.
But and I have to remind myself, you know, people, right? Everybody asked you that question. How would you go about it? Well, by asking, how would you go about it? Asking the client, and they'd say, well, we have a coffee group that meets every Tuesday, and come on in, I'll introduce you around, right? We got so good at this that we had an office at Eli Lilly in their facility.
Yeah, I remember reading that in your book.
To meet with, and we had the same thing at...
I re-listened to Supernova this month, by the way. I don't know if I told you or not, but I've got it on my audio.
Yeah, it's space repetition. You just have to keep listening to it. We did the same thing with Chrysler. Now, Chrysler wasn't the same kind of size and volume. It was numbers, but it wasn't the size we wanted. Eli Lilly was, you know, size and volume. But you're in a wonderful area where you have potential to meet amazing people, and you just work your way up the food chain. Or go in at the top, who cares? But, you know, wherever you can break, you've got a client. That's the hardest thing, is getting the first client.
Yeah.
That is and you hard. do a good job for them, and then you ask. Okay.
I had lunch with an entrepreneur today, and I got the introduction from his son, who's in BNI, and I was doing my one-to-one. I was doing my presentation, telling him to, and then I said, you know, here's kind of how we work. Here's what we look for. Does anybody come to mind that you think would be a good fit for that? And he said, well, actually, I think my dad would be a good fit. He's a business owner. He's thinking about retiring. He's not sure if he should. And I think he might be a good fit. And I said, great. What do you think is a good way for us to meet? Should we go to lunch? Or, and he's like, well, yeah, he's off on Mondays and Wednesdays. I'll have my staff set that up and we'll go to lunch. He says, great. We had lunch today. His dad's a super nice guy. We'll just have to see if he has enough zeros for it to make sense. But it went good.
So you're writing the book.
Well, again, my focus is not.
You know, I tell people about you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, my motivation is for the kingdom, right? Obviously the Lord's prospered me along the way too, but my passion is, look, I want to give $1 million a year to the kingdom, right? And quite frankly, it'll be cool if he takes the limits off that and I can do, you know, 12 million a year or whatever the magic, you know, does, you know, I'm limited, but he's unlimited. So, you know, he can make it more. And along the way, the Lord's rewarded me and, you know, fairly compensating me for my hard work and efforts.
Well, speaking of that, I could use an introduction to a person that would be as good at implementing the model as you are. Because Supernova doesn't live unless somebody actually uses it.
Sure. The person that kind of did come to mind, I hadn't seen him in a long time, my friend that I was talking to, that's still at Merrill. In fact, he's gained so much weight, I didn't hardly recognize him first. I bet he's put on 30 to 50 pounds since I've seen him last. I was really surprised. I'm sure it's all the stress and his age, and because he's got to be right close to 60. 59, 60, 62, 63. So anyway, we ran into each other at a fundraiser for our school, our kids' school. And he told me that his son who graduated has now come to work in the practice with him. He's actually a CPA. He got his CPA, but he said he's coming to work for me. And we were just talking about how his RIA and stuff. And he was saying, you know, maybe that's, he goes, he was at, and he does well because he's at some Barron's thing. So, I mean, I know he's topping his complex. So I don't know if he does 4 million a year or 6 million a year or 8. I mean, he's way up there. And he kind of has already implemented some of those things in terms of, you know, he deals with accounts this size and up and this person deals with accounts this size and down and he has a whole team and all that kind of stuff. And he's been in the business, maybe at least 10 or 15 years longer than me, maybe a little bit longer. He's similar background, started with Jones, left, went to Merrill, been through all the ups and downs. But that's the first time I've seen him. I don't know, 7-8 years. I mean, we just kind of been out of touch because he always wants to talk about business. And, you know, a lot of times other people, I don't want to just talk about business. So, and he always wants to meet me at 7:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock, you know, and there's a few people I do that for, but I don't want to do it on a regular basis. So we just kind of been a little bit out of touch, but, I mean, I'm happy to try and set that up. Certainly I think there's a connection in terms of he used to work for Merrill. He's always worked for Merrill. I just really don't know exactly how he's running his practice. I know that, you know, he's good at it and he's successful at it. You know, he's certainly obviously bringing his son to the practice. He's made this other admin. He has at least one. He already had one other licensed guy that was doing like the maintenance of most of the accounts and taking the accounts under a certain size. Then now he's got his admin that's licensed and then now the son's coming on. So, you know, I mean, obviously he's not doing it for the money anymore, so to speak. You know, in fact, he was telling me about a real estate, because I said, do you still have your ranch? He goes, no, I sold that. And he goes, can you believe I got, you know, X number of dollars an acre for that? And I was like, wow. And he wasn't saying in a braggadocious way, more kind of like, I can't believe how much real estate's gone up. And they said, but I bought like 50 acres over here and now someone offered me this there. I couldn't believe they offered that much for it. You know, he goes, maybe I'll build a house on that 50 acres someday, but for now we're happy where we are and stuff. So, He's a really good guy. I like him a lot. He's a good Christian guy. He's helped volunteer and coach at Faith Academy, where our sons go to school. His youngest son just graduated from Baylor. His oldest son plays football and is graduating this year and going to Baylor. So, yeah, I just have to think about how I make the introduction, since other than seeing him at the party, you know, I hadn't really been in his life a lot. And,
yeah. Well, I mean, we could just do a Zoom introduction, do our best to do it. Right? If he'll do it, great. If he won't, great. We didn't lose anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to make the ask for you. That's no problem. And then the other challenge I have is I just don't hang around any advisors.
No, and that's, you know, that's not unusual, right? I mean, that's one of the big challenges.
I mean, when I'm not at work, I'd rather be spending time with my wife or son or doing something.
Right. You know, and I don't look, I'm not, if you don't have anybody, you don't have anybody. But if you do and you think,
I mean, those other guys that I told you, you know, the other guys I told you about would probably benefit from it, but I just, you know, I think they're in a different direction. And then, you know,
but this guy looks, see what I've done for guys like this is coach the team, but like coach his son individually.
And right, that's where you probably add values, coaching his son, yeah.
See what I mean? So I charge them for the coaching the team, and then I charge them individually to coach the players. And a guy like that can afford to pay for two or three people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a little, and, you know, you mentioned this in your book. It is a little bit of a concern, which is we're in the same community. In a way, we don't compete, but in a way, we do, you know. And so...
Sure. Yeah. You don't want them to be too good. Right. I understand.
I'm saying, I mean, in years past when I wasn't independent, I never won business when I went up toe to toe with him. I probably understand a little more now why I'm independent, but he's good at what he does. He doesn't need any help getting better at what he does. But so anyway, I'll be happy to try and figure out how to make that introduction, but it is a little bit concerned if all of a sudden everybody in his team's doing the same thing I'm doing, then how am I different than they are?
Well, the reality is most of them aren't prospecting. Okay.
That's probably true.
Yeah, he's just getting referrals when he can. And
yeah, who knows? He might send me some business.
Right. No, I'm serious. You know,
I doubt they're inviting anybody at 20 grand plus a year out the door, but yeah.
Right. No, I know.
All right. Well, I'll think about how to make the introduction.
My charity needs the money. So okay. Think about it seriously. You are doing good work by referring me, because it's all going to a charity that's going to help the world, right? These kids are all going to be good kids.
Maybe that's a good end. Maybe I could say, hey, I want to introduce, I know you're passionate about charity, and a good friend of mine who also was a longtime executive at Merrill Lynch is also passionate about charity. He's been a lot of help to me, and I'd love to make an introduction. Maybe that would be a good introduction.
That would be good. This gal's a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You know, they're good. They're good kids, you know, so it's.
Yeah, I think that, by the way, that was a good video that you sent out from your partner about what you're doing and things like that.
Oh, thanks. Good. I have to be better at asking.
You're good at it. You're good at asking.
I just don't do it enough.
And probably me as well. Nobody likes rejection, present company included. One last thing, and that is that I want to get some clarity on. I'm just going to share my screen. I thought maybe that would be easier.
Sure.
So we do follow the 24-month count. So this is on the client agenda. So we religiously follow the 24-month calendar, right? And I thought I had this open, but maybe I got distracted before we got on the call. Oh, there we go. All right. So let me just show you two so you can kind of see what it looks like. And then, so there may be something I need to tweak.
Yep.
All right. What do you see on the screen?
I see dear Steve
cool.
and Vicky.
All right. So this is the template for the executive summary, right?
Yep.
And so we have whatever the topic it is, right? And so that's already set up. Let's see, where's the client agenda? February. There we go. All right. And so there is a template for the executives, for the client agenda. And the client agenda, it looks different whether it's a quarterly review or whether it's a monthly call. So everyone says, so this was like February, questions and comments, client's personal update, monthly topic. So the, for this month and next month too, it's disability. That's where we are in there. And then follow up on last month's full year outlook rebalancing. So this was a quarterly review.
Yep.
This was an in-person review. And then any changes to short or long-term goals, review portfolio performance and recommendations, and evaluation of service. So, and then depending on what we talk about in the meeting in February, like if we explore something about they want to look at disability insurance and get some quotes on there, then that might be on next month's agenda to review disability quotes. So I think the question we were asking was, is Zan had been taking this template and then making any adjustments and then putting that, this is our, you know, client cloud folder, right? And then putting in this folder. And what I had suggested was, since you already know what the 24-month calendar is, why don't we just batch process that and put, you know, the agenda for the next, in this case, the next 12 months, right? In every client folder that has all the topics and things like that. And then from month to month, all you got to do is if there's any specific adjustments, make the adjustments. So that's kind of what we were trying to ask was, is what was best practice and how were other offices doing that?
Instead you're of way ahead. You're way ahead. This is a really good idea.
Because she was just doing it weekly. She was just weekly saying, hey, look, I got to put all the client agendas in here. I got to prepare the reports. It takes me about a day.
So you're saying put the whole year in there.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then just pick and just plug and play the topic and then pull it out every month, right? It sits in that folder until you need it.
Yeah, and I would go ahead and put the topic because we already know what the topics are for the future months.
Exactly.
So we only have to adjust that. The only thing that you have suggested that I was maybe unsure how to really implement was, is it should flow from the financial plan, which I agree with, but how should that order or whatever? In other words, like we just onboarded a new client, right? In December, right?
Yep.
So I can kind of, so I actually ended up talking about disability. And then I also went ahead and brought up long-term care insurance. And in the financial plan, we recommended that they get, but that they get long-term care insurance, right? So where would that go and how would that go? Like, let's say we're starting in January, the 24-month calendar, right? And let's say we've already cycled back through. So we're at month one of 24. So the first is full year outlook, then review beneficiaries, follow up, you know, da 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 da. So I was just trying to maybe better understand what you meant about certain topics flow from the financial plan. They should stay on the agenda until, and then you mentioned like the, and by the way, I mean, it's very helpful having an agenda, you know, and I always say, hey, always use your line. Hey, before you over my agenda, what's on your mind today? What specifically did you want to talk about? And then I write that down so that that directs the meeting too.
My comment just on the agenda would be I would try and get everything out of the way and then I would have my action steps.
Okay. And see, I haven't had the evaluation of service to ask me to say, okay.
The evaluation of service is fine at the very end. But number six.
Oh, I was just pointing out to you that I have my staff actually put that on my agenda. So I would say, as you look back over the last year, what's two or three things that you value the most in working with us and our team?
Right. No, it's perfect. But my only point is you've got review, portfolio, performance, and recommendations. I just move that up. Okay. That's administrative, right? We're not. And then I put down, action steps. And that would be where I'd ask for the order. And once you get the order, you know, you want to kind of close, right?
that what you're saying, like that? You would put action steps?
Yeah, it'd be a separate, it'd be kind of like, you know, questions and answers, client personal updates, monthly topic, education, right? And then follow up last month's topic. That's good. Review portfolio. And then I'd have whatever you need to get done, right? And under action steps, this would be like a whole separate thing. I need to sell this, buy this, do this, whatever you're planning on doing. You don't really have a place where you go, hey, this is what we're going to do.
I'm kind of not following. I'm a little bit lost. So,
well, don't you have things that you want to get done?
Yeah, in the financial plan, you mean?
Yeah, if you're, I guess I kind of have a whole list of things I got to get done. And she puts them all in one section. So then we kind of know them all. You know, it's sort of, my portfolio review goes something like performance, action steps. Okay. It's yours is much better.
Well, thank you.
Mine is like performance, action steps. And so I'm always anxious to get to the action steps of what she thinks we need to get done, because she's kind of in charge of making sure I get everything done that I'm supposed to get done, right?
See, I've got the action plan on the financial plan. So here's like the new client. Here's your financial plan. And I'm page 58.
Right, right. But you're not going to do all the action steps. You're just going to do you're going to do the ones you need to get done when they do the plan, right? And then you're going to kind of batch process them together, you know, on a monthly basis.
All right. I'm still not really, I'm not sure we're on the same page, but I'll try and.
No, you don't need to change anything. I just want you to, you know, if you've got it built in,
okay,
that you take the action steps when you go through here, and when I get to this point, I have them do the stuff.
Okay,
that's fine. That's all I was looking for, was when do you have them actually do stuff?
Well, part of the action steps is in the follow up executive summary. Let's see.
But the executive summary would be what you did, basically, right?
Yeah, but if you look at my executive summary, so it has, it's great seeing you, below summary what we discussed, as well as any action items on your part that you or my team need to take. So I tell them, here's the summary we talked about. Then I say, here's action items for Steve and Vicky. Here's action items for director. This is the director of client solutions is the name of Zan's role. So I don't know if you like that or.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Okay. All right. So I would tell people we're looking for a director of client solutions. All right. Director of leadership, that's Shelley, certified financial planning team, and then me. So this way, if you and I finish a meeting, you get executive summary for me saying, here's what we talked about. Steve, Rob, here's what you're going to do. Here's what Zan's going to do. Here's what Shelley's going to do. Here's CFP's going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And then at the bottom, it says, we're looking forward to our next call on March 1st, 10:30 a.m. So I'm kind of giving you some, go get her done.
So would you actually, so this would be things you're going to do before your next meeting.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes I might put something like meet with, say, attorney.
No, that's right. No, that's good.
Before December 1st, 2022. Right. So I might put some things that are due before.
Yeah. And that would just sit there.
Yeah.
That's good. I love that.
And so that would go, yeah. So that would be something we'd make an action item in the CRM to make sure that my staff schedules a meeting between myself. And then I'd probably put for the director of client solutions, schedule a joint meeting with myself, the clients, and state planning attorney before the end of the year, look at their calendar, mine, and work it all out.
Yeah, I think you're good. You're good. I just, it just, you know, we have more of, you know, bots, you know, send $25,000 to Wake Forest, sell this stock, you know, change managers.
Yeah, yeah, we have full discretion, so I don't have to do all that BS.
Got it. Got it.
The only thing I have to do is if they have to add more money, then I put send me a check for $200,000.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Okay. Good. Good. I love it. I think you're as well organized as anybody I've ever seen. And you're upset because it's not well organized enough. That's why you need a military person.
I am a recovering perfectionist, bro.
Well, you need a military person that will value this as much as you do.
I think you're right on the money. I should have done that earlier in my career. I think you're completely correct. And hopefully that will reduce or eliminate the emotional. That's where I've always run into challenges with admin staff is, you know, the emotion part of, look, we're just here to do a job, do your job. Let's, you know, and not probably being sensitive enough to their emotions and their needs and their feelings. And it gets me in trouble.
Yeah. No, so I can feel that. You know. Just listening to you, you know, but that's,
I mean, it's not necessarily a reflection of my heart. I really love people.
No, no, you talk to me in that, you know, in that pool room in our building with amazing compassion. I heard a very, very sincere human being trying to help another human being. And I think that's a really good thing, but that may not come across on a daily basis.
Yes. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure
and,
that's
and so you need a, you need a tough attention to detail person that value gets it and knows that if, you know, if this doesn't happen on the minute, we could all be killed.
Yes. And has that type of urgency and yeah, that's a really good analogy. I think you're on the money. As you well know, I value and trust and respect your opinion and input. And you've had a lot more experience hiring and firing people and working with people and all stuff over the years. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about you. So thank you for the input.
Yeah. Right, military doesn't guarantee anything except they had to live with people like us.
That were screaming and yelling at them, and all they could do is go, yes, sir.
Right. And so they will get it. This is what it is, and this is what we expect, and they'll be like, yes, sir, I like the structure. I need the structure.
Okay, great. I like
you
this.
You know, I like the structure. I'm used to enforcing the structure, process, plan, process, and rituals. That's what I'm all about. And they like that because it's not – you're not looking for the creative person. What you're looking for is a person that can execute brilliantly.
Yes.
They happen to have a little creativity in them, good, but that's not what this job is.
Yes.
Okay.
You're trying to sell money. I'm going to get to work on this and find my
person. You'll have fun. And you're going to do a good thing, for the military because there are, you know, there's a certain, they hate to see people go, but then they want to see them do well when they leave. Because there's a high suicide rate of people coming out of the military. Very high.
Wow. Because they've lost that camaraderie and the companionship.
They lost their sense of purpose.
Yeah. So well, I just happened to see the end of, you can't handle the truth. Kyle or Dakota. I forget the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. So
exactly.
Anyway, but I just happened to catch the end of that the other day where the attorney, says to the sergeant, who's fixing the bit, you know, getting booted out. So, Sergeant, you don't have to wear a stripe on your, a patch on your shoulder to have on.
Right. So. That's exactly right.
Okay.
All
thanks
right.
for your help and input. Appreciate you.
Hey, good being with you. Thanks.
All right. Have a great rest of your day. Okay. Bye-bye.